Saturday Night Live with Fred Armisen is over, but we're just getting started here on the Saturday Night Live post-show recap here on postshowrecaps.com. And now, here are the two guys with approval ratings higher than Chris Christie's pants. I'm Rob Sisson, here's Rich Tackenberg. Rich, how are you?
I'm good. I can't believe it. We're here at the season finale. It seems like it went so quickly.
It really did, but it's done. What? How many episodes this season? What, 22?
20. No, 20. 20 episodes 20, this year.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it was a lot. And
21. I'm sorry. 21. I'm sorry.
I thought it was a fun final episode of the season hosted by Fred Armisen this weekend.
Yes. Yes.
We're going out on a high note here this season. So excited to talk about all that. Of course, we are live right now here on blab.im talking about the show. And we got some questions about the finale. And then let's go ahead and put this season to bed, talking about the final episode of the season. Also, James Keast will join us in a little bit to talk about the music from the finale. But Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good. Just back from a week vacation. Genevieve and I were up in the mountains of Idlewild. It was very nice.
What do you do up there?
Nothing. And that's the point.
Yeah. You get good internet up there?
No, except for the Higher Grounds Cafe, which had a nice 50 meg per second connection. The rest of it, very bad.
And what do you read? What do you do up there?
A little bit of writing, a lot of eating, a little bit of walking around in the woods, in the nature, and the just kind of relaxing.
Be careful walking around in the woods.
Yeah. So we didn't do a lot of that.
Well, yeah. You guys are like a regular Lewis and Clark. All right. So let's start to talk about the Fred Armisen episode. And we didn't really know what to expect. We had a lot of predictions. I think we were off on just about everything. What were you thinking going in, Rich?
Well, and I was going to say something exactly to your point. I think that we talked here and also talking on Twitter and even just talking anecdotally with friends. I think that we all had very clear expectations of what this episode was going to be. And here's the thing about SNL. One of SNL's great tools that it has in its arsenal that it rarely uses is the element of surprise. And I think that it was used so effectively here this episode. Where was everything? It was every sketch a winner? No. But so much of it was good, and so much of it was not Garth and Kat, not Nicholas Fane, not all the things that it was not the Californians. It was not Donald Trump in a cold open. So it was a really nice sort of like surprise of just, oh, I felt like made a concerted effort to break expectations. We saw cameos, but not necessarily the people we thought we would see or doing the things we thought they would be doing, which created a great energy. And so I think that it worked really well. And also, as we'll talk about through the thing, as I've often said, I think SNL is at its best when it feels like we're attending a party. And I feel like from the live from New York to Saturday Night to the weird Greg Allman Band finale at the end, last sketch of the night, it absolutely felt like we were at a party with guests, with surprises, with high energy, with a lot of laughter, a number of people breaking over the course of the episode. And I felt like what a way to go out was with SNL sort of being at the party of Saturday Night Live.
Okay, all right, let's get into the party, the big Fred Armisen season finale. And so the first sketch was the bar sketch. We have Hillary Clinton at the bar. And my mind first went back to the season premiere from season 41, where it was talked about, I think, for a couple of weeks leading up to that, where it was going to be, oh, Hillary is going to be on SNL in the season premiere. And we had where Hillary Clinton was at the bar, and then the real Hillary Clinton was the bartender serving her. And I see Hillary Clinton at the bar. I think that that's where we're going at first. But that is not where SNL, this sketch is going. Were you thinking that same sort of thing?
I did. I mean, it felt like the same setup as far as we had that, you know, it was not the cold open when Hillary showed up, but it was a bar sketch. And it was that exact idea that Hillary comes in and then the real Hillary playing Barbara, I think, as the bartender. So I thought it was the same thing. It also had the same feel of a classic, 1250 sketch, O'Donnelly's when the last last two at the bar end up making out. So it was a weird
with
sort
Keenan
of a,
the bartender.
Exactly. So it almost had that feeling as well. So definitely sort of off my game as far as where is this going? Interesting.
Yeah. And so we pull back to see here's Larry David one more time as Bernie Sanders. And this did feel like that this was the saying goodbye to season 41, which was the season of Larry David on SNL.
Yeah, this was, I mean, for 21 episodes, this was Larry's fourth appearance this season. He had three cameos, including this one, and hosted episode 12 himself. So this absolutely felt like the...
It was only three other times besides when he hosted?
I think so, yeah. I think I counted. I may have missed one, but I'm pretty sure episodes 3, episode 4, he hosted 12, and then again in 15. So I may have missed one, but I'm sorry, 15. Oh, I'm sorry, and this one is 21, so that would be 5, including this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I meant four prior times. And I felt like this was the, we're probably not going to see Bernie Sanders again in such a notable position, so let's sort of say goodbye to the character in a very loving way. And I thought this was super well done. I really enjoyed this.
And really, the Larry David, all over season 41, I mean, compared to the John Rudnitsky, Larry David has, you know, featured player Larry David this season.
I think you're right. I think he did get more screen time than John.
Like not
definitely,
even like joking around. Like he really.
No,
did.
Really. Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
No,
did.
Really. I mean, he showed up in three sketches tonight, which was, you know, some of it throwaway. But, you know, Larry was there. He wasn't a do the cold open and get a town car out of there. He was there for the night.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought this was a lot of fun, this sketch, in terms of the interplay between Hillary and Bernie from when Bernie is saying he's not going to go home and the bar is closing.
Right.
Just the back and forth between them, talking about when he had said nobody cares about her emails, how stupid that was. Her line about how I don't normally like humor, but that's funny. All really, really well written material between the two of them.
Yeah, I like when she said, you know, I'd like to offer you a position. How would you feel about being senator of Vermont? That was really funny. And I like when she talks about the pivot and he starts doing the classic Seinfeld, like, I saw the pivot. I'm not a fan of the pivot, not a big pivot. And even though it didn't get a laugh, I love that she's like, why do you keep saying pivot? That was a very fun commentary. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I liked when they're both sort of like laughing about it. It's so rigged.
It's so rigged. Yeah, it's so rigged. And I loved after he does his little secret about wanting to be a billionaire, which was cute when she's like, I'll tell you a secret that I haven't told about. I really want it. I was just great McKinnon. It was really fun. And her whole bit, like, I don't like people. And just, you know, that whole thing was very fun.
Yeah. And so then I was a little unclear of where it was going in terms of the dancing, and they danced and waltzed out in front of the stage and down the hallway to ultimately we had the whole cast behind them, which was this whole big set piece, and ultimately Hillary puts Bernie on the elevator and pushes the button down. Which I thought was a very fun send off to the character.
Yeah. And I love, again, this is sort of the party energy. You clearly can't do it every week, but I like we're breaking the fourth wall. We're getting off the stage. We're, you know, we're at home base with a jazz or, you know, string quartet and then dancing. And you can see the audience and sort of fun with that. We get a quick little Bill Clinton cameo. So yeah. I think this is such a great way to sort of kick off the season finale. It's like this is a live television show done in a very small New York studio. And we're just going to have fun with it. And then having the whole cast, you know, it was a throw. I think that the them sort of greeting them was really just an excuse so that the entire season 41 cast could yell live from New York at Saturday night. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, I don't want to skip over Daryl Hammonds as Clinton, really only like maybe two appearances prior to this as Bill Clinton. Now, we joke around about this, but like after Daryl Hammonds does the introductions, if he does them live, which I think it's still, he still doesn't
think so.
Taped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he just go home after the monologue? Like, is that what he's doing?
I think so. I mean, he really almost never stays. He sometimes stays for the good nights, but he almost never does.
I mean, I don't know. Have we seen him in a sketch past the monologue the entire season?
Nothing comes to mind. I can't think of anything now.
Yeah. So just kind of an interesting note. I don't know if he's just like, I got, all right, I'm out. Okay.
Yeah.
But that being said, okay, so let's get into Fred Armisen and the monologue, which is a healthy monologue, probably the longest in season 41, right?
This was a this was a long monologue. The actual sort of one man show was, I think, over 5.5 minutes, which is very long for a monologue. You know, setting this up, you know, that he's going to do a one man show, and I just it sort of felt like this is the Nicholas Fane of monologues, like the bad intention. You know, and then I realized, I'm like, where do I know this before? You might remember from 2011, there was a pre-tape sketch that he had done called Live from New York. No, I'm sorry. What was it called? It was called Half Jewish, Half Italian, Completely Neurotic. It was Tommy Palmese's one man show from 2011. Yeah. And it was a lot of things like the New York Times says it's over 4 hours. And it was just like, and so this was basically that redone. Even some of the voices that he was doing was effectively the voices that he had been doing in that 2011 bit. And this is the kind of thing that I should hate. Everything about this, it's like, it's so bad, it's funny kind of comedy is very rarely something that appeals to me. But boy, I even the second time it really made me laugh. Clearly a little long. We really probably could have shaved off a good 30 seconds to a minute. But in general, I really liked it. I thought it was very funny.
I did like how, he really did take his time with it. The mention of the critics think this part is way too long.
Yeah.
So he acknowledged it. It did seem very familiar. I do recall that sketch that you're talking about, the one man show. What were some of the standout moments from this for you, Rich?
I like that, he does the bit with the audience member, which sort of sets her up for the no-win situation when he's saying, is this a dream? Is this a dream? Is this a dream? And then she finally answers, you ruined it. I thought that was funny. And I love just the weird, every cast member that has ever been on SNL does a bad Lorne Michaels impression. And so I love when it's Lorne Michaels and he does the most ridiculous voice that isn't even close to him. I thought that was very funny. I thought that was really good. And I, as someone who now does a lot of storytelling and is at the Moth on a regular basis, the whole idea when the guy's like, hey, funny Freddy at the very end, and he goes, what proud of you? It was such a very fun joke to the sort of syrupy, wrapping up with a bow kind of storytelling of many one man shows. So a lot about it I liked. I probably a lot of with the lights down, lights up again, lights down. I maybe would have cut it before that because I think he had a lot of energy going, but still very fun.
Okay, so then let's get to our first live sketch, which is the Lewis and Clark reenactment in front of the classroom. Okay, and this is probably one of the sketches that I saw the most criticism about.
Yeah, I would say this was probably one of my least favorite sketches of the night. Not that it was bad necessarily, but I think this was one of my least favorite. You know, when we start out and we meet the community players, it had the same feel of the one man show, live from New York. I did Saturday night or, whatever it was yeah, that's right. I did Saturday's right. So I thought it was going there. And we've had a lot of school things, in the past, this sort of takes a weird turn. I will say at least the weird turn of clearly it's Lewis and Clark, specifically Lewis trying to have a threesome. They got to that very quickly, which was good. In some of the later sketches, it was equally good how long it took to get to the turn. I don't think that this before we got there had the legs. So I was glad that we just sort of got to it quickly. And then just silly, dumb, fun kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that Patrick in the chat room says that Pete saved it. I did see that people really enjoyed Pete Davidson as the kid in the class. I thought that 80 was also very funny in her take that she thought that this was breathtaking and this was really fantastic. Instead of trying to shut it down, I thought that was a funny turn for her character to take.
And I tell you, and I actually really like Sashir in a small way in this. I thought that Sashir does good at sort of indignant straight person in a scene, kind of the incredulous straight person. Very small role, but did a very good job. And I like that they call Sacagawea Sacagawea. That's just odd, sort of reference to that. Fred starts to break early on this as he's reading the cue cards. He's definitely gets a case of the giggles. I liked Cecily's commitment to the bad actress doing a Native American with that mountain here, stop soon. It's just so bad, but it was very funny. So yeah, within it, I thought a lot of funny stuff in general. I don't know that it was overall held up, but in general, I thought it was fun.
Yeah. And I think I actually probably liked this more than a lot of people did. I thought this was, you know, I thought that it was a funny idea, and it was, I did enjoy it. There was a couple, you know, a couple of funny lines about, you know, look at me, look in my eyes. Like I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. She's on the right. Wait, hold on.
I also do like that the Fred sort of brand of comedy of they're never even calling out why Lewis wants to have a threesome, but basically just have sex with Clark. Like there's no why to this. It's just that's their take on Lewis and Clark, and we're gonna play it out, which was very fun.
Okay. So it's also the return of Andy Samberg, and he's here for this digital short, which I guess is part of this upcoming movie that he's doing, the Pop Star.
Yes, Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, which opens on June 3rd. So not a big surprise that he's back to promote the movie that's coming up. I thought this was fun. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think that Vanessa Bayer is becoming queen of the pre-tape. I think she was such a perfect casting alongside him to be the sweet, nice girl that wants to be effed like we effed Osama bin Laden. Similar to one of the, I think the review on HitFlix that I was reading, I think that for this piece itself, it didn't necessarily go anywhere once we set it up. But still really good energy, good editing, a lot of fun sort of energy to it and cameos, you know, people showing up. Overall, I definitely liked it. I don't know that I needed to see it a second time, but in general, it was fun.
Now, was this the first appearance in season 41 of Jay Farrow as Obama?
It's funny. I wrote the same thing down. I was just going to mention that it's so crazy that our sitting president got almost no screen time on SNL this year.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Yeah, it was very crazy. When he showed up, I was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen him in ages. It was very surprising. Yes.
We did not see the Fred Armisen Obama either. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes. That I'm happy to forget. I think that was, I don't think that's a character we needed to see.
Yeah. I wonder, for whatever reason, did Obama get less screen time in 8 years than any other president during the run of their presidency during SNL?
You know, that's a good question. I'm thinking through. Yeah, that is probably, I wonder, I'd want to go back and see who was playing Jimmy Carter and how much Jimmy Carter got, but I would say this season is probably a record for president coverage of on SNL, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into then the Regine sketch, which comes up. And here we are. It's the return of Regine. Rich, do you recall Regine prior to this?
Oh, I absolutely do. I absolutely remember Regine. Regine is a character that I did not need to see again. You know, this is a sketch that, you know, for a lot of, we haven't seen it since 2013, which was Fred's last year. They last did it on the Christoph Waltz episode in February. So it was a reoccurring character. It is absolutely Mad Libs. I mean, literally down to Regine orders a fancy drink. Someone else says, that sounds good, I'll have it too. And then she says, well, in that case, I don't want it. Like it's that level of Mad Libs. And it always starts with, you know, watch what happens when I kiss her neck. And so it's completely Mad Libs. That said, this is a performance piece. This is going to be much more of a performance piece than a writing piece. There certainly was some clever lines, but overall, we're watching Fred lose it. And then to see Jason Sudeikis was, again, a huge burst of energy. Crowd goes crazy, well-deserved, and understandably goes crazy. And I think that as much as Fred Armisen was very funny in this, Sudeikis was really sort of the lifeblood of the energy of the sketch in a very good way.
Yeah, you know, I had watched one of the previous ones before we came on, and this was also, they did it in the Daniel Craig episode, which I think was one of the memorably bad episodes of SNL that we've talked about over the last few years. And I wonder if maybe what made Regine pop here today was sort of like the inclusion of another funny person as the date of Regine, as opposed to Daniel Craig or Christoph Waltz.
Exactly. I definitely agree. I mean, it's meant for a straight man, but it actually works when you've got a high energy person. You know, and there's that great Sudeikis moment when they basically tell Regine you should leave. And Sudeikis gives the classic Sudeikis, way. And it's just such, it's such a great, like, it's just the whole room is electric when he does that. And clearly, as someone was saying, in our, on the boards before the show, that, you know, it really shows how committed Sudeikis is. There's, you know, how great is it when clearly by accident, Fred Armisen puts his foot and his shoe gets in the guacamole dip. And when Vanessa Bayer calls it out, Sudeikis is like, nope. And he puts a chip in the guacamole and eats it. And that gets a little bit of a laugh from the other cast members. And then he just scrapes some guacamole off of the shoe and eats it. And I was like, Sudeikis is in it to win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You feel like that the foot in the guac is that's not scripted, that's improvised?
I think so. It didn't seem, because I did watch the sketch twice, it didn't look like he was sort of aiming for it. Mm-hmm. You didn't see the kind of, like, if that was a bit, you might have seen him more kind of like leaning in a specific direction. It seemed like his leg was just sort of flailing and it landed there. So I could be wrong, but I don't think that was necessarily planned.
I just wonder, like, with the food, if Sudeikis knows to eat, that it's okay to eat it. Like, every time you have food in a scene on a, is it always real food? Like, how does Sudeikis not know it's fake guacamole, some sort of prop guac?
I think that those things generally you can tell from the beginning of the scene. You can kind of see the plan of, like, you know, if the sketch starts and the actors are eating, then mm-hmm. you've got a pretty good sense. If they're just sitting there and there's food on the table and no one's referring to it, we'll see. I'd love to hear from someone who was at the dress. I mean, that would really tell us everything. If the guac happened in the dress as well, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be great to know. Let us know on Twitter at Rich Tack, at Rob Sesternino, if you happen to catch that. Also, I felt like that it was really funny that, you know, the people that were breaking in this scene where AD and Vanessa are really starting to lose it as this scene is going on. And it really did feel like, okay, here are the veterans. Here are, like, you know, the college guys, you know, come home. And it's sort of like the people that are in the current cast are just like, they can't control themselves. Like, that's how good these guys are.
Yeah. And Vanessa breaking, I thought, was notable because, you know, Vanessa rarely breaks and sometimes she'll get the giggles a little bit. I don't really remember her breaking since I think Kristen Wiig was hosting a long time ago. She didn't sort of just break. She completely was, like, screaming in laughter during one of her lines, which was great, which was interesting that she was in the Last Regine sketch in 2013 and she with Bill Hader as her boyfriend, and Hader was losing it, but she held it together perfectly. So to me, it's the people that don't normally break that when they start to break, you know, it's funny. And that's really good.
Okay, Rich, let's talk about Farewell, Mr. Bunting.
So this was a sketch when it was like, boy, I was just like, oh, this is going on forever. What are they doing here? And, like, certainly I love Bobby Moynihan. I think he was great. Everyone in it was great. They did such a good job of taking their time to set the table to say, this is, you know, this is a Dead Poets Society. This is sort of archetype characters. And it was just, and for me, just at the point where I was starting to go, okay, maybe we should wrap this up. Boom. Hilariously funny. Hilariously funny. Great.
I was laughing out loud, like, literally when this happened. And it's just such a, like, you know, it, big mo. I mean, it was shot beautifully. It was acted completely straight. There's not a giggle before that until you get to that point. And it's just like, there's so much, like, suspense. And then all of a sudden, in that one moment, all the air comes out of the balloon. And it really was a moment.
And not only was it fun acting and fun directing, but also the editing was really strong, because once we see the head, it's a very quick, it's the head and then it's tossed and then the blood and then the fan and then out the window and then the mower. And then it's just, it really was just like a boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, that moment of like, all right, well, okay, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to, you guys got my email address, right? So it was just, and we were out. I mean, it was, there wasn't a big prologue to go on. In general, just very funny.
Yeah, it really was very, very funny that if for some reason you have not seen this sketch, find a way to watch it. It's on Hulu, NBC.com. Do they have those? I don't know.
Yeah.
You can find it pretty easily. And it really was wonderful. I mean, just the line reading in the sketch. Who's reading the poem from? Is that Beck Bennett?
It was Beck Bennett. Oh, that and that was the point where I was sort of going, what it was like, poetry shouldn't be fun. It's meant for women and homosexual. And I was just like, oh, this is a little on the nose for me. And so I was just getting a little, but then just, well, you know, and once they get into the, I sing my song for all to hear, I was like, oh boy. And it's just, boy, what a great turn. So funny. So funny.
All right. Let's bring in James, if he is up and ready to talk about the music from the season finale. James, how are you doing? You don't have a ceiling fan at your place, do you?
No ceiling fans here. I think I'm safe.
Okay, good. All right, James, let's talk about the season finale music.
Courtney Barnett.
Yes.
Man, was I was super excited when I found out that she was going to be on the show. I think it's her first national appearance in the U.S. I don't think that she's done any other of the major talk shows or anything. I think this is the first exposure that she's gotten. And she's had a remarkable year. She's still supporting her debut record. The one thing that you might have heard was that she was nominated for a Grammy this year for Best New Artist. She didn't win, but other than that, kind of out of the blue for Courtney Barnett to land on the season finale. She's a young Australian woman, and so she put out a great record called Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit. About a year, 18 months ago.
Catchy title.
She's great at titles too. The first song is called Nobody Really Cares If You Don't Go to the Party.
Okay. I've heard that.
Yeah. It feels like it's really been a while when we've just had a band, like a really good tight rock band, just come in and just rip up the SNL stage. You know, it sort of reminded me of the old days.
It's funny, as much as I know there's been a lot of punk rock bands on SNL with that very lo-fi sound and look, it reminded me of when I was a kid and Elvis Costello being on Saturday Night Live. It had that kind of like nerdy, but still very anti-establishment, just sort of just going crazy.
Yeah, and really good, but just high energy, simple, straightforward, you know, and we've gotten a lot of sort of elaborate either people bringing a 20-piece band or there's an elaborate setup or whatever. And especially being, you know, so young and just having the confidence to just be like 3-piece band. We're just going to come out and rip these two songs off and, you know, we're going to make a million new fans.
Yep.
Okay. James, anything else from the musical performance?
I just thought both songs were really good. You know, somebody asked about her being related to Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders in the chat room. She is not, although, you know, musically there might be some lineage back to bands like The Pretenders or The White Stripes, even The Kinks. I get sort of a Ray Davies vibe from her sometimes too. She should be putting out a new record potentially even later this summer. So do check out the first one and I think she's going to be on the rise and her second record is going to get a lot of attention. So
I also heard, I think Leslie Jones said on Twitter that apparently Courtney Barnett played the entire after party. So it sounded like a really fun after party. Obviously the season finale after parties are legendary and apparently Courtney Barnett played the whole thing. So it sounds like a hell of a good time.
Awesome.
You know, James, while you're here, I figure, why don't we talk about the last sketch of the night, Rich? You
sure.
Got for that? Talk about
yeah,
the
absolutely.
One,
I was the thinking the same
one.
Thing. Yeah.
Let's talk about the Harkin brothers, where we have this big Southern rock band from the 70s and this really fun sketch of everybody together on stage at once. We know Fred Armisen likes to play. And we have basically not really a very funny sketch, but definitely a musical sketch. Rich, what's the precedent for something like this?
Well, I mean, you know, the Blue Jean Committee, I think it was called, you know, was something that he did, although that had more comedy in it. And then he did on the 2013 season finale, which was his last show, they did the rock band or the punk rock band, which was more like this. And you had Sudeikis on drums and it was them just playing a song. There wasn't necessarily any comedy to it. The way this was set that up, I thought this is going to be an homage to somebody leaving the show. Is this going to be a Keenan thing? Is this going to be like, oh, this is somebody sort of, but no, it was just them just jamming. I think it was really just a chance for the whole cast to be on stage and just sort of have some fun.
Yeah. James, what'd you think of the music?
Well, I thought it was an odd choice. I think the song was fine. And they had a couple of notable guests. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia,
yep,
was right behind Fred. And she's also from Sleater-Kinney, one of the greatest rock bands in history. But she wasn't playing, and I don't think anyone was actually playing live.
No.
I just wasn't sure what was happening. There were several sketches throughout the night that you sort of, as they started the Lewis and Clark sketch and the Mr. Bunting sketch, and where it was like, oh, okay, what's the turn going to be? And so I was waiting for the comedy turn on this sketch, and then it kind of didn't come. And then it was like, oh, I guess they all just wanted to dress up and do this song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a real who's who. I mean, you have Larry David is there. Andy Samberg is there, and that was a surprise because you figured, okay, well, he probably just either came in for the pre-taped or just did the pre-tape beforehand. And anybody else of note, Rich?
I mean, I like the fact that Colin and Michael Che were both in it too. So you got the Weekend Update anchor showing up. So you're really getting everybody showing up. And, you know, John Rudd was there, which is very possibly his last performance on SNL. So I'm glad he got to be on stage and have a good time with everybody. It was Maya Rudolph sang.
Oh, yeah, Maya Rudolph, yeah.
Which I think was funny, but to be honest with the mix, I couldn't totally hear. I could tell she was saying some funny things, but I couldn't really tell you what she was saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, fun stuff. James, thanks again for all your hard work here in season 41.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. You could follow James Keese, the editor of Exclaim Magazine, at Exclaim Editor, and also he loves to hear your thoughts about the Toronto Raptors.
Certainly do.
Yeah, even Scott St. Pierre is on the bandwagon now. You guys won him over. Okay. All right. Take care, James.
Bye bye.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Bye. All right. Rich, let's talk about Weekend Update and the final update of the season. And again, it's a season where Shay and Joss, we had our doubts about them coming into season 41, but it was a season where I feel like they quieted the doubters.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say this episode was indicative. It started strong with the two of them, but I would say the last run for me was kind of a miss for the most part. So I sort of felt like they certainly are competent at times. They are hilarious. I don't know that they've settled in yet to sort of say that they have arrived, but they're certainly, I mean, I think that a lot of what they're doing is often better than what what Seth Meyers was doing by himself. So I think the bar is not as high as other people. But a lot of good jokes at the beginning, a lot of good interplay at the beginning, and the end, they kind of lost me.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what comes up in any of our season recap podcasting in terms of Weekend Update. Okay. So we got off to a pretty good start. I felt like that they came out once again hot to open up Update.
Yeah, very good start. A lot of funny stuff. I love the idea that, you know, that the NRA supported Donald Trump because they must not have done a background check. Very well done joke. Really nice piece to it. And then I thought Colin had a nice run comparing Donald Trump to guns and all that was funny. I thought they then tossed it to Che talking about how the NRA thinks that Hillary Clinton wants to take away their guns. This did not work for me. I was kind of like, it was kind of the more than actual funny. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know. I think Hillary Clinton does kind of want to take away some of the guns. And I think that's part of it. And I actually agree. But, you know, it's there's a little bit of that, too. So I don't know that the jokes were as cutting as the first jokes. But in general, it was really fun. And then when we got back to the Chris Christie's approval rating dropping so low, it was 10 points lower than Bon Jovi playing the new stuff.
Yeah.
I thought,
garbage.
That was a fantastic joke. Fantastic.
and then higher than his pants are at an all-time high.
Yeah,
that was great. Okay, so all right, so the first visitor to the update desk, Maya Rudolph, is here as the impeached president of Brazil.
Yeah, you know, I joked last week about Dilma. I joked last week that I was surprised that fellow Drake, as a Canadian, fellow Canadian Marty Short didn't show up to promote the Marty and Maya show, which is a Broadway video Lorne Michaels produced NBC sketch show, sketch variety show, which premieres on the 31st of this month. So here, clearly, Maya was here to do that for him. And I thought this was really fun. I mean, at the end of the day, to me, this was just a female Big Poppy on Weekend Update. We're really just, you know, just saying a little bit of a ridiculous accent, and it had me laughing every time. So was all, I thought it was all really fun.
Yeah, went on a bit.
What?
I thought this was a little long.
Yeah, definitely. Although the last end about the Olympics, I thought was very funny. I thought that they instead of just cutting in earlier, they could have cut the middle a little bit. Mm-hmm. But just talking about the, you know, about the stuff that they were dealing with, you know, about that they're still building the baby. They have to get all the dookies out of the river, the human dookies.
1 million, yeah.
1 million human dookies. And it's BYOB, bring your old building. I thought that was really funny. I like that she kept calling him a juicy baby. It was so a lot of fun stuff here.
Okay. And then one more time, here's Willie. What is this, three or four times for Willie?
I think it's the 37th appearance in 21 episodes. I felt like this was the cast and the writer saying, we can't end the season without the post-show recaps podcast having one solid, boy.
Didn't you say it like Dilma Rousseff?
Boy. I gotta say it like my tongue is mad at the rest of my mouth. I felt like even Michael Che wanted to say, boy, what are we really? We're doing this? Very, very. But
do
strange.
We feel like this was a Keenan send-off episode?
No, not at all. That's what was strange. If Keenan does leave, I would be like, of all the things he could have done, he did Willie? That makes no sense. Sudeikis was there to do the Running Man, and what up with that? Mm-hmm. Come on. So, yeah, very strange.
I mean, how long have we been podcasting about this show? What, like 4 years now that we've been talking about this? I feel like that's been the ongoing through line of this podcast has been, is Keenan leaving?
Exactly. Yeah. It is actually, we're finishing our fifth year of podcasting this show. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, Keenan is the longest running cast member in the history of the 41 years of Saturday Night Live. He is the longest running cast member, replacing Daryl Hammond before him.
In fairness, probably his best year. Mm-hmm. Right?
This was a big turnaround year for me. We'll talk about it when we do the season recap.
Took 13 years, but he's peaking at the right time.
You might remember at the end of last year, I was praying to the God in heaven that Keenan retire. And yet I thought Keenan brought so much funny to this season. Willie accepted.
Yeah.
Now, the performance of Willie, A+. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do Willie, Keenan brings it. But I just was like, really? Why Willie? I don't know. And it was so, we get it. We know all the jokes, no surprises. And we're just waiting for it to end.
He's the Carol of the Walking Dead of SNL.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Let's go into, let's leave update and let's talk about Fred Armisen escaping in the escape hatch and then having to go through the whole menu of different things. I felt like this was fun, but it seemed very short.
Yeah, although I will say it took us almost 2 minutes to get to the joke. They really did, and in a good way. I mean, the sketch itself was interesting enough that the setup was, I wasn't sitting there going, oh my God, what's the joke? It was like, okay, this is interesting. Where is it going? And it really took a while, even to the point where the safety harness coming down took forever. So when it finally asks him if he would like a meal, and he says yes, and then he's got to choose which meal he wants, I was like, oh yeah, this is good stuff. And very silly, again, very obvious jokes, very, you know, oh, I can't believe it. Why would I think about a beverage? Well, I'll get the milkshake. I'll get that. Like, it's just very funny. And then I think what worked really well with this, even if it wasn't hilarious, is that once we really had kind of like, okay, we've got, okay, what do you want your chair to be? What's your in-flight movie? Get out. We got it. There's really nowhere else we can go. We see him getting the massage and drinking a milkshake, and then he drives into the sun.
Yeah. What did you think about the movie selection in terms of funny movie choices? City Slickers 2.
I mean, I like it. I mean, you can tell that probably Fred wrote this or someone like Steve Higgins, because clearly one of the 20 something writers did not think of City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. It is somebody my age who wrote that joke. So within that, I like that. That's like, oh, as my friends are dying, I'm going to watch City Slickers.
Rich, I also felt like that the music cue at the end was the music from City Slickers. Tell me.
It might. I it's funny because I'd have to ask James. I thought so too, but I'm not a City Slickers aficionado to
it
tell you, but
I think it might have been.
Also on Twitter, a number of people commenting, silly technical mistake when the pod door closed. So you could see the cue cards in the window, which again, live TV, that to me, that's very fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the only other sketch that we haven't talked about is the Woodbridge High School improv troupe doing their America the Beautiful question mark.
Yeah, this is the fourth time we've done this in,
was
I think, 2 years.
That was intentional?
Yeah, it was a little intentional. Yeah. I'm a little... I mean, they did it well for what it is, but the first time that we saw it, I think Reese Witherspoon was the very first one, and it was so funny, and it was just... making fun of liberal, pretentious white kids in school. As I probably said 2 years ago when they first did this, I used to work across the street, or actually next door to a white, well, not that white, but a private liberal school in Los Angeles. And we used to see the kids at the different stores in our area. And it was so exactly these kids. That said, I don't necessarily know that there was that much to do that was new and different. I think the last time we did it with Elizabeth Banks, and the twist that they did is they actually gave Keenan and Vanessa a lot of the really funny jokes, which made it really good. This one was a mix. There was some funny there, but it was cute. I did like the with a grocery store that rich people shop at, and they're ordering, a Hollywood body, an innocent verdict, and one general election. I thought that was very cute.
Yeah. I also we got Larry David in there. So again, he's up for anything here with this SNL season 41. You had Keenan up on the stage here, but nothing super memorable to write home about here, right?
I like the idea that when Vanessa says, like, I can't remember who said what, like, one of them says, where do they think this is going to get them? And they go, actually, they all got into NYU. I was like, perfect. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Okay. Rich, let's talk about some of these goodbyes.
Yeah. I mean, just, this was an absolute no moat goodbye. We see, Andy Samberg is in the house, which is great. Half the people are still in their Harkin Brothers wardrobe. Very odd that we see, during Fred's, thank yous, Leslie Jones is taking a picture when we come from commercial and then showing the photo on her cell phone to someone else. So clearly felt like a party going on. A lot of big hugs, a lot of fun.
Yeah. For Leslie Jones, who tore her Achilles, looks like she's moving around okay.
Yeah, doing good. I mean,
ACL,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say for me, very strange this episode, that given that the potentially big movie of the summer is going to be Ghostbusters, which is Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones and alum Kristen Wiig, as well as other, I think Cecily Strong has a part in it. And very surprising that we had no sort of shout out to that in some sketch, some cameo, some reference. Very surprising. Maybe because it's not a Broadway video movie, but still surprising for me.
Is there anything you think to that? Do you think that anybody is trying to distance themselves from it because it has not been really having a lot of popularity on the internet?
You know, it could be. I mean, there was one thing that was as a side note. I was listening to a podcast, an interview, and Matt Walsh from Veep, UCB founder, mm-hmm. Matt Walsh was being interviewed about Veep. And then they asked him about Ghostbusters. And he made a very clear point to say, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it, which I thought that's a bad sign. He said it, I think, twice or maybe three times. I haven't seen it yet. So I thought that was very surprising. I will mention Scott St. Pierre in the chat room.
That code? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that is often code for I'm not going to tell you how funny it is because I know it's actually not funny. And so this is my way of no comment. This is my easy no comment. I haven't seen it yet. Now, you were on the set. You know, plenty of people are on it. If you thought it was hilarious, you wouldn't say I haven't seen it. You would say, yeah, it was so fun to do. We had such a good time making it. It's going to be a great movie. Mm. And the fact that he said that is often, but not always, often code for I take the fifth. Mm. So we'll see. As Scott St. Pierre does mention in the chat room, they from a marketing standpoint, Ghostbusters and the studio was running ads for it throughout the show, including right up, I think, after post monologue. So they were clearly buying the ad time, knowing this is their target audience, but did not get any SNL love.
Okay. Then, Rich, we got a couple of questions here in the chat. People really want to know more about John Rudnitsky. Coach wants to say, were you guys disappointed that we didn't see the great John Rudnitsky characters in the final episode?
Yeah, I think that I think he had a great year. I think it'll make a great Moth story for him. I think, you know, this will elevate him to go on and do other things. I would be surprised if he's back next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you never know. Lorne and producers, they do make choices based on what they perceive as the long-term health of the show. It's not about whose Q rating is higher or who had the bigger things. They really do take, I believe, a more holistic look at what the next few years looks like. I just don't think that John Rudnitsky checked any boxes for them. He didn't have any breakout characters. He wasn't a reliable straight person. He didn't fill a role that nobody else filled. So, I think, he will be the Brooks Whelan of season 41. Glad to have him. Did a nice job. Seems like a nice guy. It was nice knowing you.
Okay. Mike Bloom, the great Mike Bloom, said, how did the last sketch of the night compare to Fred's farewell sketch back in 2013?
Well, similarly, it was really a performance. It wasn't a comedic sketch. It was them doing the characters from they had done these punk rock characters from a pre-taped earlier in the season, and they brought them back to do a live sketch. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I don't know how this gets sold to Lorne. As what if we just do an Allman Brothers Band piece that isn't actually funny? I don't know how that happens, but why not?
Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, where does Armisen fall in terms of returning alumni? Surprise top five entrant?
Yeah, certainly from a booking standpoint. Now, when you get into the booking, I believe Saturday Night Live does have more to say about something like that. So, you know, if you discard alumni like Sarah Silverman or Chris Rock, who technically were in the cast, but did not sort of make themselves known. Fred Armisen, I think for me, probably Andy Samberg hosting the season finale from 2 years ago was a bigger surprise because I felt like he had distanced himself even more and was sort of going in his own sort of direction away from Broadway Video and from Saturday Night Live. So that was a shocker for me. But certainly Fred, clearly still in the family. Portlandia, produced by Lorne Michaels. Late Night with Seth Meyers, produced by Lorne Michaels. So clearly still in the family, but not the person you would book. I mean, just booking Sudeikis would have been a bigger announcement. And Sudeikis does have a show in the fall, so I think there's a very good chance we could see a season premiere with guest host Jason Sudeikis.
What's his show?
It is a weird show where he plays an animated character in a live action show. It is called Son of Zorn. It will air on Fox next year.
Oh, it's like the He-Man show?
Exactly. Yeah. He does the voice of basically an animated He-Man in the real world with Cheryl Hines as his real world wife or girlfriend or something like that. So
The Racing Source says, seeing Sudeikis made me realize he does still care about the show. For a while, I thought he tried to distance himself as much as he could. Rich, did you get that? Did he have any resentment towards SNL?
I don't know if I would say resentment, but I would agree 100%. He, you know, he left the same season as Fred Armisen, which was this very big deal. You know, Jason didn't announce it till over the summer. And then he did not come back for cameos for a long time. It might have been this season. I think he came back in March to play Mitt Romney. Yeah. It might have been the first or maybe it was the second time since he had left.
What about the 40th anniversary?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he was back for that. I almost discount that. Really, you know, almost everybody came back for that. So, but in general, he has not been an alum that really shows up that much. So, especially early on, I think he really decided to take a break from SNL. So I agree with that statement.
Okay. All right. So that'll do it for this week's recap of the Fred Armisen episode. Rich and I are going to take a little bit of a week or so off from the SNL recapping, and then we're going to come back and do some sort of season 41 recap show and take some of your questions and your feedback along the way. You can send us questions, snl@postshowrecaps.com. That's the email address. You can send us in questions about everything. Rich, any other thoughts about this show going into the feedback show?
I think a great way to end. I liked that, you know, we'll talk about the season overall, end on a high note, end with a party, end with great energy. Got to see some old faces that were welcome returns. Got to see some new faces, you know, newer faces have some fun. So I think a nice way to end the season. I think how the season fares as it relates to the last few years, we'll talk about in a few weeks. But overall, a lot of fun and just left me with, you know, those closing chords just get me every time. Never so more than a season finale and ever so more than a season finale that was well done. A great end to the year.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much to you guys who joined us here live today and for all of these shows. And thanks so much to James Keast for all his work along the way and for Scott St. Pierre getting all these live shows ready to go and then posting the podcast up on postshowrecaps.com. You could subscribe, of course, to the Post Show Recaps podcast feed, postshowrecaps.com/iTunes, or for the SNL podcast, postshowrecaps.com/SNL iTunes. Rich, anything now that you're back from vacation, anything in particular you're working on?
Nope, just getting back to work, doing some more storytelling in the LA area and just getting the job done.
Okay. You follow Rich on Twitter. He's @RichTack. I am @RobSisterino. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.